Take these times of the hovering and the incubation of my spirit, to listen inwardly, saith the Spirit of grace. For I've declared unto you that you have an anointing that abideth within you and cannot lie, saith the Spirit of grace. For this anointing confirms all things, directs all things, brings all of everything that I am to you with an absolute confirmation whereby which you're able to stand upon all of my promises and know the wisdom that is poured out to you as an individual, saith the Spirit of grace.
Thank you.
For in following this type of communion, I'll come, for I've sent my Spirit who confirms all things to you.
Thank you.
For there's nothing that's challenging you now, even on multiple fronts, that He does not have a wisdom that if you'll follow through intimacy, He'll guide and direct you, give you wisdom and confirmation of my word on a moment by moment basis. Learn this, saith the Spirit of grace, that many in yesteryear took the blatancy of my word and walked out of their tribulation, but understood little about the intimacy which comes through fellowship and the guidance of He who is that continual anointing within you and cannot lie, whereby which I've sent Him to speak the truth and confirm the way in front of you. So know this, if the blatancy of my word is trusted and the Holy Spirit is leaned upon for every moment in every tribulation, you'll find that something comes to you exceedingly abundantly above all that which you could think or ask, saith the Spirit of grace.
Thank you, thank you.
Hallelujah,
thank
Jesus.
You, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory. Glory. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Fix my eyes on you, Lord. I thank you for all these, for they're yours. They're yours, Father. For this brief, short time called planet Earth and this dispensation, we've joined together for a purpose, for a cause. And we love you, Jesus. We love you. Please, Lord. Please, Lord. More of you, less of me. We worship you. We give ourselves wholly over to Him, to the power of your Spirit. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, do you want to hear good news? The guys were telling me tonight they're having to put out more chairs for our Sunday morning crowd. Isn't that good? When a certain something is done, I'll be able to tell you, give you a testimony, and give you a word that was given to me. But that word is coming true, and it's amazing. And I also ask you to please pray for me and also for Candy, as we pray for you also. Lord has sent me in. I came out for a few days, 4 or 5, and I knew it was in a brief intermission, and I'm right back in. And This one has no time limit on it. So He'll bring me, us, to your remembrance at times to pray. When He does, please, wherever that's at, pray. It's in. And I'll pray for you as He has me in this, because we're going into revival. I'm going to make a good long run at it this time. And it won't be the last, but it's one of many. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Would you just lift your hands one more time and just worship Him for who He is? I love you, Jesus. You're so sweet. You're so wonderful. Show us your wisdom. Not the wisdom of this world, which passes away, but the wisdom which is of God, and by your Holy Spirit. This we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just waiting on Him. Just make sure. Because you got three or four rivers running through you. Could go most any way. I want to say, He wants me to say, not under commandment, but it's my heart, that I just am so proud of you guys. Well, I thought pride was a bad thing. No, not when it's in the essence of love. So proud of you that you walk where you walk, those of you that have been on this way. That you can just walk in such agape. And as a whole, the body and the eldership is going to a place where He can pour out revival. Doctrine is the most important thing that you'll ever carry into revival. It really is. What you believe. What you believe. Okay. Let's just take something. Let's take something like, let's just talk just for a minute, since He'll go this way, on the attributes of God. That's the essence of who God is. The essence. There's at least nine of them. But a lot of people will start out with the one that they don't necessarily know the nine. They just know that different parts of. Some people call it the essence of God is nature, or this is who God is. Let's talk one about where people usually, if they've got a strong like prophetic voice or something like that, they'll start on the attribute of sovereignty. And God is sovereign. That's one of His nine attributes. Meaning, street language meaning, there ain't no more. He is in totality sovereign. He's in complete. He's the ultimate. God is, they'll say, and what they do is they misinterpret this part as God is in control. Well, He is, but He isn't. Because if He is, then He's made a mess of things. But where they really mess up is this. They don't understand that not only is He sovereign, but He's sovereign in all the other eight attributes. In all other eight attributes. Well, if I was naming one, the first one that popped to my mind is and if there's a Crown Victoria that seems to be coming up who God is, if He's being interviewed, it'd be the one that John mentions. God is love. God is agape. So that seems to be the one that come first to me. But if you're going to talk sovereign first, then you have to understand this. He's sovereign in every other attribute. Agape. He's sovereignly. Fullness. You can't get no more. He's sovereignly just, meaning He's the umpire that... I mean, He says it's when it's called, it's called. And He has everything... He is sovereignly just because He's sovereignly righteous. And because He's sovereignly righteous, He's sovereignly immutable, meaning He can't change. He's the same today as He... I mean, you go 10 billion years in that direction. He is who you know He is. I mean, whatever you perceive Him according to the Word, and He's taught you by the Holy Spirit, He's immutable. 50 billion years, He'll never change. And you can bet this, If there are other beings in other universes, if He's created any other worlds, you can bet that He's ruling and reigning over them in the same immutability that He rules and reigns with us. He's omnipresent, omniscient, knows everything, omnipotent, He's all-powerful. But listen, if He's sovereign, then He sovereignly rules in all of His other attributes. And they're not a law unto Him, they're just the essence of who He is. He cannot do, He cannot be anything other than who He is. So if He's sovereignly agape, this is what they don't understand. A lot of times you'll hear things like this. Well, God knew it. So if He knew it, then it passed through His hands. And that if it passed through His hands, He could stop it, but He didn't. So the essence of it is God had something to do with it. Really, that kind of logic, they don't understand. They don't understand. It's a lack of the revelation gift working in their life. But they don't understand that that's probably the greatest proponent against a revival that you can possibly believe. Because if you believe that He can, according to sovereignty, and it's just up to Him, I'll tell you what happens. There's no need from that point on to give yourself over to fasting and to prayer and long hours of worship. Because if He's going to do it, He's just going to do it. And then, if they're not careful, they become that mindset in and of itself. That mindset can become the greatest persecutor against anybody who puts their hand to the plow and says, I'll go in, my God. I know this is not of works, it's of grace. But Lord, I'll do whatever You teach me. I'll fast, I'll pray, I'll spend long hours. Because if He's sovereign, then He's just going to do it if He wants to. And then if you're doing all that, then you're in works. You're works. You're trying to make God do something that it's up to Him if He wants to do it. Listen, it is up to Him. The sovereignty of revival absolutely was concluded when Jesus Christ came. All sovereignty came to rest on Him. Hallelujah. Here's the fallacy of, once again, and believing that if He could, allowed it, then evidently God had something to do with it. The premise has such a fallacy in it because it's not understanding the other attribute of His love. Because He's sovereign, fullness, but then He's fullness in love. Agape. Do you know what agape cannot do? The full expression of agape. It cannot withstrain somebody. It cannot put them in a hold against their will when they're determined to go forward and to do something. Otherwise, if you take that premise, then you have to believe all the way back to the original fall. Adam, no. He wasn't the original fall. There was one who preceded him. It was an angel in heaven. And some thought processes take people to a place where they believe that God initiated the form of evil. He had something to do with that so that that being would try our hearts in chaos, catastrophe, calamities, all kinds of crisis, so that God could see what we were. Listen. John said, in Him is no darkness at all. James said, He cannot be tempted and He will not tempt. It's outside of the realms of possibility. What they cannot understand is this in His sovereignty is that His agape would not constrain. I mean, it can't put you in a robot sense of the word. If Lucifer is out there in omniscience, knowing everything, did he know it? Yes. This is what sometimes they cannot compute. Just because God knows something is going to happen doesn't mean He had anything to do with it. He prophesies in the book of Revelation. He tells us of all these great calamities. Yes, it is coming, but He's not the initiator of it. He's not. He's telling us what is going to happen. He's only the initiator in this, that He's telling us to bring forth light, and that's stirring up darkness. Yes, He's initiating that, but as far as Him getting behind darkness and fueling it, no way. He could not stop Lucifer falling. If He could have stopped anything in His sovereignty, He'd have broke Adam's legs right off at the ankles and said, "Don't go to the tree. Don't. You're about to make a horrible mistake." The only thing in agape, if you want to, you can. Because He will not restrain you. And you can bet He rules and reigns with that. If He's got a million other planets, He works in who He is according to this Word. And you better believe that He works fully in agape. And He cannot. Now one day, He'll constrain and He'll imprison all fallen angels, the chief one Himself, and everyone who chose in the millennials, all the ages, to follow Him through a death nature. One day it'll be over, and that'll be His part of His sovereignty. It's over. It's over. You'll be forever, forever constrained, never to be brought up again. But His love, His immutability, this is another part. If He's sovereignly agape and He cannot stop anybody, and people think that He could, so if He didn't, then He must have something to do with it. Listen, if you're one of those parents that's going to usher those little kids in here that were born without faces, you better not have that kind of doctrine. Because if you believe that they were born without a face, so you could stop and ponder and say, what is He trying to teach me in all this? I can tell you what He wants to teach you. He wants to tell you that before that kid was born, David said all of his parts were written in a book. And if there's any of them missing, Jesus Christ has come, stood on this planet, and He said, "Who sinned? The mother, the parents?" And Jesus said, "Nobody, nobody. This is a genetic downfall from the original, and you don't have to go into all that stuff. But I'll tell you what God wants to teach you. God has provided a sovereign plan. Jesus Christ is the healer." Hallelujah. God. Glory to God. Doesn't it just witness truth on the inside of you? Thank you, Jesus. They don't understand usually when they go to Job and go to here and go to there. Things that you've got to have a stronghold on the born-again trail. Or however you... That's an affectionate term. You know, I wouldn't get... That's one that Pastor Dave coined. But you have to have an inside-out, vertically, horizontally, laterally, you have to understand who you've become at the new nature. Because I can tell you this, if you don't understand that, this is why Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he stood up and said, and he wrote these things, "We have become able ministers of the New Testament." He didn't say, "I've become an able minister of the old." Now, is it to be thrown away? No, that 39 books is to be, that's sacred. But listen, he also said in Galatians and Colossians that was the shadow. The shadow is not supposed to be interpreting the body. We are the body. We're in Christ. All true revelation knowledge is to be received by the body in the New Testament, and everything that we perceive. Then, on knowing that, okay, God, I understand this about You. You're always the healer. Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, when I reach back into the old is not supposed to be the thing that teaches me, as in this establishes the doctrine. No, it's a shadow. It confirms what we've learned in the new. This is why Paul said, "I'm a New Testament minister," because all these things have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
So if you go to Job, or if you go to any of them where he says, I raised up this king to destroy it. Listen, God had to work in all essence out of character, not because he wanted to. Those are dead people. They have no inner parts to know God. They're saints in a sense, but they are worshiping him out of their mind, and that's all they can do. And he had to deal with them totally different than he does with us. The shadow. I'm me. What's cast over there is not me, but it's an image of me. If I go and say, interpret me by that, you're missing all the fine-tuning of my nose, my eyes, my ears, the personality of who I am. If you try to interpret God by the shadow, instead of interpreting in the body and say, you're immutable, God, you cannot change. So therefore, if I get over here into things that are not like what I see over there, this is what I have to stick with, and let that eventually conform my image through revelation to what is ever supposed to be formed over there by the old. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You can make God things out of the Old Testament that, Jesus. I mean, God, you can conform your image to who God is out of the Old Testament. And they'll say, well, it's the Word of God. Sure it is. But don't live in the shadow. Go and enjoy the shadow and say, look how the shadow confirms the body. It confirms the New Testament. But it's not the thing by which He forms my doctrine. Glory be to God. Hallelujah! We're headed towards revival. Glory be to God. His immutability. He cannot change. And if you've found Him one way in Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you've found Him the Messiah that walks in power and in love, and every time He runs into sickness, He heals it. And if you could ever find one time where He stopped him and said, okay, I'm going to heal you, but what have you learned out of this sickness? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to tell you what you know. If you could ever find it, then you'd have some kind of doctrine to go by to say, okay. And he just steps up. So now that I know the doctrine of the new, I can go into the old and explore it by God's grace. I can understand what was going on with Job. I can understand why he raised up Nebuchadnezzar, why he raised up different ones. These men did not have a born-again spirit. And folks, keep praying in tongues. Keep meditating the Word. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I think He wants me to just stop right there. We'll worship a couple songs, and then some people came asking for prayer. And we'll do that. Hallelujah. Yes.
They used to bring all the vegetables all the time. She called me today from the president and said she had to test and everything was made over there.
Her heart. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, guys. Hallelujah. We'll just worship God for a little bit and get ready. We get halfway through whatever Matt puts on, and any of you that needed prayer, a couple of you came up and said, we need to pray or pray for somebody else that's not here. Hallelujah. Here's the thing that he just said. Well, do you know what he said? Yeah, I do. I do. I didn't know he was going to say it. You know why we can have an outpouring? Because we know that He's immutable, meaning He's unchanging. He works the same way today as He did yesterday. He'll work the same way in you and through you. He doesn't change. So therefore, when they come and they stand, you know by the pronouncement of His Word that He sent His Word and healed them. Beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper, be in health as thy soul prospers. You know that when He was here, that He healed all the blind, He healed all the lame, He healed all the leper, He healed everyone. And He's immutable. He's sovereignly immutable. So therefore, you know that when they come in, there is no question. See, here's where doctrine takes you to the next limit. If there's a question, maybe there's a lesson to be learned here. You're already beat. You're already beat right there. Nobody, now listen, nobody that ever has that kind of thinking, I mean, you can pray yourself out of, I've prayed myself out of all kinds of, and there may be thinking inside of me still, but anybody that has that mentality, like maybe there's a lesson, they'll never, until that gets out of them, never walk in power towards healing the sick, casting out devils, blind eyes. Why? Because that beats you to the punch. If you think He's in what you're about to cast out, then you're fighting against Him. And even if you don't know that that thought's there in your subliminal, which we'd call somewhere in your spirit, which Paul said, cleansing yourself from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, that's wrong doctrine that has to be flushed out. It has to be bleached out. Praying in tongues a lot will bleach that out of you. And well, I have not arrived, folks. But I can tell you, in His immutability, we've all got to, and I'm still a long ways from it. You've got to stand up without question and say, my God, there was a price paid for this. And the lesson stops here. Glory be to God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. So would you just worship God with us and stand and worship? And if you want to come and stand and worship, it's fine. And if you have a need, please just come and stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let me just sit right here for a moment and tell all of you that received grace, and the rest of you that are maybe in a time now or contemplating one in the future, let me just remind you of a couple things. One, fasting does not replace the grace that we stand in. And when I say that, grace came to us through the work of Jesus Christ. In all reality, I mean, this is the standing that we stand in. In all reality, if we could just simply believe, revival's present tense. You really wouldn't have to do great fasting like praying in tongues. Only enforces it. Enforces the grace. It enforces the standing that we've been declared by Jesus Christ. We are kings and priests, and He has anointed us to lay hands on the sick. And the only thing is, as we well know, there's a common denominator that stands between us and that, and it's called the flesh. And if it just testifies of itself, if we can do those works, then the other would not be necessary. But since we cannot yet do those works, there's an avenue to destroy the works of the flesh and to bring it under submission. Hallelujah. So I say that to say this: you never start thinking that you're earning anything. It's already been accomplished. His pleasure in you is already maxed out in Christ. His love for you is maxed out in Christ. He loves you as you presently are. You do this because you love Him. And you do these things because you want to change more so into His image. And these are one of the multiple keys that enforces that grace that gives you the ability to change, like praying in tongues or meditating the Word, to change from glory to glory. I also want to say this, is ask Him always as an individual, what He wants you to be doing or the type of seeking time. There are so many different ways, and this service is not dedicated to that. He just led us into this for a moment. Series, extended. Many of you that work, it would be very difficult at times to do an extended fast, but you can always do series fast. The easiest one that I've ever gave testimony to, if you're not a real used to it, is the laborer's fast, and that's, you won't find that word in the Bible, but we coined that, is that you go to bed, you sleep, you're fasting while you're sleeping, and then you go the full day until the last time you ate the night before at supper times. That's 24 hours. And if you do that two or three times, if you do that day on, day off, or if you do that two or three times a week, you can fast three or four days a week and still keep your energy up. I want to say this. Fasting has a bad rep because people don't understand it if they don't do it a whole lot. And I'm not saying that to demean. Your first 24 to 48 to 72, the 72 is probably about the worst. 48 to 72, your glucose level goes down to such a level, unless you're on, and we have all the information you need on some lemonade cleanses that keep your energy up if you wanted to go for several days. Juicing, natural juices, carrot juice, and all those kinds of things, you're still fasting. That's kind of a partial fast, but you're still fasting. Water only puts you into a supernova. I mean, you go into a cleansing, which is healthy, but also incapacitates you if you're not used to it, if you've not been eating real clean. 48 to 72 hours, this is where people will do one and say, I'll never do it again, because your glucose level goes so low and your toxin level, after about 72 hours, you start, it would really take about 3 weeks to totally cleanse you of all toxins. But after about 72 hours, your toxin level is so high that your brain is like in a fog, and that's where people quit, and they'll say, I'll never do it again. I'll never do it again. And when that happens, not only, a lot of times I know the enemy comes, but your mood swings. You'll have a mood swing if you don't watch it, because your glucose level goes and the toxins go so high. So I'm saying that to say this, there's a way to circumvent that. You can circumvent that with keeping enough glucose on the brain and abating your toxin level from going too fast. You don't want to cleanse too fast. And there's ways that we know how to do that. And I can tell you, even if you're not a continual faster, that you can do that. And see Kathy. She's got all that stuff. But there is so many different ways to do it that there really is no excuse. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I worship you, Jesus. Actually, once you get to a place in one, you'll have the greatest energy. After all the garbage comes out, you get some of the greatest, it's like euphoria, you get some of the greatest energy you'll ever have. You really do, because your toxin level goes to cleanse all that junk out. But it's getting to that place. That's the hard place. So we don't want you to not get there. We can tell you ways to get around that. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, would you please? Hallelujah. So, if you want to be able to stick on one and feel good about it, if you have any questions, see me, see Kathy, see some of the other people that kind of understand that. Hallelujah. How many would like to help us out tonight? Well, praise God. Okay, Father, would you please take up those buckets? Entrepreneurs, I am not putting pressure on you. I'm just believing God for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You guys do know you're supposed to be getting rich. Hallelujah. Father, fill these things up, I pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We don't have to beg. But I thank you, Father, that, Lord, it is your will, that we don't have to try to scramble to figure out how to make things meet. But we have so much that we are able to give unto every good work.
And I thank you, Father, that you give unto those who all, you give unto all, and you give unto those, Lord, adventurous kinds of qualities, those kinds of things that are locked up in the side of the realms of faith, so that the multiplication of money is made for the kingdom of God. And I thank you for every gospel entrepreneur in this house, every ministry of helps that finances this gospel. And Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we had a good time. So we'll bring this down and we'll just continue to worship. If you have something, we'll just continue to worship and you're free to come and go as you will. God bless you. We'll see many of you Friday night. Hallelujah.